Hi, diddly ho, neighborinos, and welcome into the QB List podcast. I'm your host, Jay Felicio. And with me, as always, is the pinky to my brain, more like the brain of my pinky, but Mr. Brett Ford. Brett, how are you doing in this lovely afternoon?
Things are good, man. Just spent a little bit of time up at the lake, just hanging out. So fully refreshed and ready to talk about the AFC North.
There you go. A little bit of a spoiler alert. We are continuing our division run through, whatever you want to call it, division preview. And we are going after your AFC North. And since we do have a lot to cover, let's just go ahead and jump in. And I like how, you know, your favorite team has to be the first one on, even though it's, you know, it's ABC order, but I have to give you a little bit of something. But we will we'll go ahead and start with the Baltimore Ravens. And I mean, you're the Ravens fan. I gotta let you talk them. Let's go for it.
Baltimore Ravens finished 2025 with a disappointing 8-9 record. They looked like hot garbage after Lamar Jackson got injured. But coming into 2026, according to PFF, they have the ninth easiest strength of schedule. Lost a handful of fantasy relevant players, including Isaiah Likely and Keaton Mitchell. They also lost offensive lineman Tyler Linderbaum, probably the best center in the NFL. He heads to Las Vegas. And then, of course, the coaching staff, John Harbaugh heads to the New York Giants. Todd Monken, the former offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Key additions, really not much has changed for the Ravens outside of what they added in the draft at wide receiver with Jacoby Lane in the third round and Elijah Surratt in the fourth. And then, of course, the mastermind behind the offense is going to be Declan Doyle. Doyle comes over from Chicago, Ben Johnson tree. So, you know, an explosive offense. This is going to be his first time calling plays. So there is a little bit of a question mark there, but you know, with his experience running things under Ben Johnson, last season, with that prolific Chicago offense, I feel like as a Ravens fan, it's something to get excited about.
No, absolutely. And I'm sure you're kind of at the point where I don't mind the Ravens. I would not consider myself a Ravens fan, but I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan. So I've kept an eye kind of on them more than some other franchises. And they just feel like they were at that point where something had to change. They hit their ceiling with the formula and then just had to change something up a little bit. And I'm really excited to see what Declan Doyle can do with this offense. I think you're going to see a lot more play action with Doyle. Was with the Broncos in 2024, close to 30% of dropbacks, play action in about 30% of dropbacks in 2025, about 35% of dropbacks. You're going to see a lot more motion. I think that's going to help Lamar, the tight ends, which, you know, hey, let's, you know, we'll go from Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews to just one of these guys. And we'll start using an offense that's going to use the tight end more. And one point that I think isn't being talked about enough is how the Ravens are going from the Todd Monken offense that is known for force feeding the wide receiver one to probably a more balanced target tree. And I really, I'm excited to see where Rashad Bateman winds up going in drafts right now. I appreciate you, as always, getting the ADPs ready for us. He's wide receiver 92, 234 overall. I mean, we've seen the flashes from him. He's put up some big games. I think he could be one of those guys that everybody's like, oh, that's right. He actually is, you know, pretty decent. Not a league winner, not the, you know, going to be borderline wide receiver one or anything, but I think he can be a valuable asset to your team week in and week out if he does, say, get 6-7 targets, 5 targets a game, honestly.
Yeah, I think this whole Ravens offense should be one of those that, I'm trying to say this without sounding like a homer, but I have a feeling I'm going to be targeting the Ravens offense in drafts this fall. I talk about him probably every other episode, but Fantasy Points author, former QB List staffer Ryan Heath, put out an incredible manifesto talking about all the new play callers across the NFL this past week on Fantasy Points. Make sure you check it out at RyanJ_Heath on Twitter.
Incredible.
One of the tweets that he included in that massive article was talking about Lamar Jackson's fantasy points per game and as it relates to the Ravens play action dropback rate. The Ravens ranked third in play action in 2021. Lamar Jackson had 21.3 fantasy points per game. The next season, fourth, 20.4. Season after that, ninth, 21.5. 10th, 25.8 in 2024. And then last season, the Ravens dropped to 20th in play action rate. And we saw Jackson's fantasy points per game drop to 17.3. Declan Doyle is going to increase that play action rate. And I think it's going to benefit the entire offense as a whole. You know, you have Derrick Henry standing behind Lamar Jackson, and the threat of handing him the ball is going to draw defenders in and hopefully open up space for Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, and the rest in the second level. So something that I'm really excited about. I'm trying to temper my expectations for this offense just because, you know, we've had high expectations before and we've been let down several times. But I mean, Derrick Henry, you know, late in the first round, early second round, Lamar Jackson, maybe at the 3-4 turn, Zay Flowers somewhere in there, like Mark Andrews. There, I can't find a piece of this Ravens offense that I'm like, I don't want that. Like, closest thing to that would be Bateman, but at his price, he's a value. So it's
exactly,
it's one of those things, man, where like I'm wheels up on this offense and I'm kind of scared about it.
Well, I get that because I do the same thing as a Giants fan with anything Giants related for fantasy. But I'll say it for you, I'm not a Ravens fan, and I think this offense is going to be one I'm going to be targeting a lot as well. And it just depends on, obviously, on ADP and stuff like that. But Mark Andrews right now going as the 15th tight end off the board. Derrick Henry, you tell me you can get Derrick Henry at 22 overall? Are you kidding me? And like I've told you, in the years past, I've made the mistake of, you know, trying to get out a year too early, six years early, and it's really hurt. But right now, only guy behind him is Justice Hill. I'm not worried about Justice Hill doing anything more than spelling him a little bit. The guy that headed over to the Los Angeles Chargers, I think, would have been more of a threat to actually take away some significant work, as much significant work as you're going to take away from Derrick Henry. Go ahead.
One of the reports out of Ravens camp that I saw, and I would love to attribute it, but I can't remember who it was on social media, but they reported a lot of Derrick Henry catching screen passes out of the backfield this offseason. Like a lot of pass work for Derrick Henry. And that's something that Derrick Henry managers remember very vividly, is that last season, as soon as the Ravens fell behind in a game, he was off the field. But if we can see him be more of a three down back, or at least on the field for more pass down snaps.
Right. Doesn't have to be all of them, but.
And catching passes, like, buddy. Derrick Henry in space. It's scary, man. And his efficiency numbers catching the ball are good. Like, it's not like it's one of those things where he just has cement for hands. Like, his pass catching efficiency numbers are pretty good for a running back.
Yep, he's just not gotten the targets. And honestly, I'm having a hard time not putting Lamar Jackson as QB1 overall. And the only reason I can't is because Josh Allen really hasn't done anything to deserve to be dropped. I feel like from a fantasy perspective, they're interchangeable. And I could just see this being that bounce back season for Lamar. Everybody's out on him after last year. Not everybody, but more people are doubting how elite he is, if he's still that, you know, still that Konami code league winner type of quarterback. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more explosive plays coming out of this offense. And that just, I mean, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and the wide receivers, even though, you know, Zay Flowers, I've been a big proponent of him. He had a somewhat disappointing season last year. He never, you know, really had that like elite breakout, like push into the top 10-ish, but had a great stretch of production to finish the season. But with Bateman, with the two rookies that they drafted, Mark Andrews, he's got plenty of weapons. I really think we're going to see a season out of Lamar Jackson that's going to remind everyone that he still is, in my opinion, top three quarterback in this league.
Could you imagine Lamar Jackson with 450 pass attempts. Like, he's done that twice in his career. And the last time he did it, 2024, he was outstanding. So 450 pass attempts, I think, is well within the cards. I think Declan Doyle is going to open things up a little bit. And man, I'm having a hard time not drafting Lamar early. I know we talk about it all the time. It's like, don't take QB early, but man, if I'm going to take a QB early, it's going to be Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, yeah, if you're going to do it, it's going to be one of those guys, the Josh Allen's, Lamar Jackson's. That might be it for me that I'm willing to take early. Like, I know, you know, we've talked about who is in that same sort of tier, but
Burrow, we'll get to it. We'll get to him, but Burrow's interesting also.
I'm a big Burrow guy too.
The one thing that raises an eyebrow on this offense is the offensive line. We talked about how they lost Linderbaum this offseason, but you look at this offensive line and there's some real question marks. Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, can he stay healthy? John Simpson at left guard doesn't have a ton of game experience, if I remember correctly. Roger Rosengarten at right tackle is middle of the road. Corey Bullock at center is pretty much a complete unknown. He's a second-year player who I don't think has any starts in the NFL into this season. And then, of course, Ayone, who they drafted in the first round, is going to be rock solid at right guard, but it'll be very interesting to see how this offensive line performs.
Absolutely.
I really think they lack in depth there too. So if they can't stay healthy, it's going to be a problem.
Yep. And I will give a little sneak peek, a little sprinkle of that offensive line article that I continue to mention that I promise is coming out. It's just taking a little bit going through, make sure it's all, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. But I will give you one conclusion that I did get from the information that mobile quarterbacks don't benefit from. You know, there's been this theory, whatever you want to call it, that mobile quarterbacks, their offensive line, if they face more pressure, then they're going to run more. They're going to be better for fantasy. That's not the case. So that's not a good thing for Lamar. Yes, he'll also, you know, might have to run more, but if he's facing more pressure, the offense isn't going to do as good. They're not going to score as many points. So, yeah, that's no bueno. So I'm with you. That's really the only thing that I can see slowing down this offense this year is the offensive line and just health in general.
Well, let's move right on to the Cincinnati Bengals, Jay. Cincinnati 2025 went 6-11. Coming into 2026, they have the 13th easiest schedule. So a little bit above average as far as strength of schedule goes, according to PFF. No real losses as far as fantasy relevant names, unless you count Jake Browning, who was their starter while Burrow was out, at least for a little while. They added Joe Flacco at some point last season. He stuck around for another year, believe it or not. All their other key additions are on the defensive side, Jay, including a guy that they traded for from your Giants, Dexter Lawrence. That's going to be super interesting to see how that Bengals defense comes together after being basically historically bad a year ago, which led to some fantasy goodness because they were, you know, playing catch up in so many games. So I guess my question to you is, do the defensive improvements lessen the value of the fantasy assets here in Cincinnati at all for you?
I definitely think the defense is going to be much better. I mean, they traded for Dexter Lawrence. They signed Jonathan Allen. I mean, and made a couple other, Kyle Tucker, Brian Cook. I mean, they made a lot of moves. And
big names too. Like, it's right. Not like, or at least not big names, but names that like are starters elsewhere in right. The league, and they brought them in to start. So it's not like they're just adding depth pieces to this defense.
And I hate losing Sexy Dexy. I mean, I was happy, you know, I was ecstatic we got the 10th pick for him, but I mean, he's a guy that's going to command two players to defend him on that O-line. So right there, you're already going to be able to get more pressure to the quarterback. I think the defense is going to be improved, but this defense was so bad that going from last to low 20s, it's not going to be enough to make me want to pivot off of this offense, because I think there's going to be enough offset of, okay, well, the team isn't giving up as many points. Well, they're still going to have to score because they're in a game longer. You know, you're not going to see that weather just blown out and it's okay, well, whatever, you know. Sometimes those fantasy point, those garbage time, you know, you get the backups in there, the third string, that's get Yoshi, get him some points. So I think that trade-off with being more competitive in games is going to negate any sort of negative impact for fantasy purposes on the offense of the Bengals.
Well, then I guess the next question comes down to, can Joe Burrow stay healthy? Because if he does, I think this offense could be a juggernaut just based on the skill positions around him. But we've seen in the past that if he's not healthy, if he's not 100%, there's a lot of bust potential here.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that stopped him every, you know, when he's been on the field, he's, you know, he's one of the few non-mobile quarterbacks. And I mean, he's about as mobile as Eli Manning, if that says anything. I mean, he can move around in the pocket a little bit. He can run for a first down, but he's not going to rush for 500 yards. But because of the proficiency of the offense, he's still considered that elite fantasy asset because, you know, the weapons that he has with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and even Yoshivas. Gesicki's been okay. Chase Brown out of the backfield. I mean, if Joe Burrow is healthy, honestly, I have a hard time not putting him. He's instantly in my top five. Right now I have him as four, and I really could bump him up to my QB3 overall just with the potential that this offense has if everybody can stay healthy. There have been some talks of playing a little more under center. Now, good and bad, Joe Burrow is actually one of the few quarterbacks that has played better, had better numbers out of the shotgun, but a little more under center, you could see some offense, some benefits for T. Higgins. He's actually seen some increased performance. And then Chase Brown, a guy who I've kind of poo-pooed in the past because of his lack of efficiency. But, you know, if he's getting the volume, it's hard to argue against it.
I find myself not taking Chase Brown in a lot of places. And I feel like that's not the consensus in fantasy. Like, I feel like a lot of fantasy things that I read, things that I listen to, everybody seems pretty high on Chase Brown coming into this year. Right now in ADP, 17th overall, RB10.
Yeah, that's too high for me. I can't do that.
Yeah, I struggle with taking him in the first two rounds.
And do you have a ADP up by any chance?
I have
just to see who I want to see the guys. Okay, I'll pull it up.
I can get to it. I have it bookmarked.
Just interested to see the other names that are around him if you're getting him at 17.
Yeah, absolutely. So in half PPR ADP, Chase Brown, like I said, 17th overall, RB10.
Someone had a Derrick Henry. There's no way I'm taking.
Chase, I mean, Brown, we're looking at the three running backs behind him. I know you're drafting ahead of him. It's Omarion Hampton at 10, Omarion Hampton, Derrick Henry, and Kenneth Walker are the next three running backs behind Chase Brown.
Without hesitation.
From talking to you, I know that. Okay, you know, so here's where it gets interesting: is Chase Brown or Jeremiah Love?
That is interesting. I honestly don't know what I would do in this instance. I tend to like to, I've mentioned it many times before, I like to gamble a little bit and go with the higher upside player. But I think in this offense, it's hard to pass up what looks like the job security that Chase Brown has. I mean, you got Samaje Perine and Taj Brooks behind him. We saw that he's not going to lose the work to these guys. Right now, if I was on the clock, I would go Chase Brown.
Okay, that's kind of where I have him settled, is right around like RB 13, 14. I'm taking Chase Brown ahead of Jeremiah Love. I'm taking Chase Brown ahead of Kyren Williams. Josh Jacobs, I'm probably taking Chase Brown ahead of Josh Jacobs. So that's about where I have him, is that kind of RB 13, 14 area, yep. 100%. Which that's probably not going to get many shares of him.
Nope. I'm with you. That's really the range. 15 is the number that kind of stuck in my head without, you know, looking at my exact rankings of the players, but it's just, there's not enough upside and there's too much downside to be willing to take him at RB10 ahead of those other names. And even Josh Jacobs, when we hit, we're not going to do the NFC. But Josh Jacobs, and I'll see if I can find the stats while we're doing this, but I don't like the way things ended with Josh Jacobs and the Packers last year, that I might be completely out on him for fantasy. I'll see if I can pull up exactly what I'm talking about while we move on to the wide receivers on this team. Ja'Marr Chase, he's good.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's really good at football.
Okay. T. Higgins, he's pretty good too, right?
He's pretty good at football too, yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, both of those guys are, you know, as far as talent goes, I'm perfectly fine grabbing either one of them pretty much at ADP. Chase, wide receiver 1, number 3 overall, and Higgins, wide receiver 16, 38 overall.
I'm
good with either of those.
I like that price tag a lot for T. Higgins, man. Like, that's,
yeah,
get a sneaky, you know, the secondary stack with Burrow and Higgins.
That is pretty sneaky.
I do have the Jacobs real quick before we.
Oh yeah, let's go back to Josh Jacobs. That's fine.
So he did have an RB1 season, but it was heavily inflated by touchdowns. He was extremely inefficient last year. He averaged under 4 yards per carry for the third time in his career among the 49 quarterbacks. Among the 49 running backs with at least 100 carries, he ranked 22nd in explosive run rate and 35th in yards per carry. Getting close to that, you know, it's that 28-year-old age cliff. I know we've kind of, you know, do we actually still believe that? But I think it's more of the workload, and he's seen plenty of work. I can't, you know, if I can get him to RB2, I would take it, but you're not going to get Josh Jacobs as an RB2, so.
Yeah. That brings us back to the Bengals wide receiver. We go from the Packers. Somehow we got off a tangent on the Packers running back, but now we're back to the Bengals wide receivers. Higgins is super interesting to me, just because, like, he's one of those that if he falls into my lap, I'm absolutely thrilled to take him. My kind of debate here is going to be Higgins or Flowers. They are back to back in ADP. For me, it's Zay Flowers, just because I'm a Ravens fan more than anything. Are you going to confirm my bias there, or are you thinking a little bit harder about it?
That's honestly a coin toss. It's one of those that in the moment, whichever way kind of gets me going is, I really don't know right now.
Did I draft Derrick Henry in the second round? Then I'm probably going to Higgins.
Exactly. 100%. Right. Or do I have a chance for that stack? I know some people don't like stacks. I think stacks are fun when you have those games that, you know, your guy catches 2 touchdowns from your
wide. Speaking of stacks, Chris Helly, one of our compatriots at QBList, put out, I don't know if he actually ever published anything on it, but he sent us an incredible study on not necessarily stacks, but basically rostering players from the same team and how it can, you know, affect point efficiency and optimization and things like that. And it was really fascinating. I think if I remember correctly, the conclusions were that, you know, a running back and a wide receiver on the same team does not necessarily take away points from each other. So it's completely viable to have like a Chase Brown and T. Higgins on the same roster and be fine with it, like not have them vulture each other's stuff. So
we need to see if we can get him to dust that off and polish it up a little bit and put it out, because that was incredible work.
It was outstanding work. I would love for him to drop like a manifesto on that. That'd be awesome.
Wasn't it something like the best quote unquote stack to have was like quarterback and running back or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah. I'd have to review it. This was back last August that we saw this last. So
yeah. Yep. I love that. Yeah.
Chris Helly, at Chris Helly QBL. Make sure you give him a follow.
Yeah, good stuff. He knows his stuff. He puts out fantastic content. And the tight end position for the Bengals, Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, just kind of shrug and move on. Maybe bye week fill in, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He's a member of the famed glob. You're hoping for a touchdown. Get a couple catches, you get 30 to 40 yards. If he catches a touchdown, you're happy.
And, you know, they have guys on their roster like Tanner Hudson. Is Tanner Hudson still there? I don't know. They have they had these like random dudes that just kind of vulture from Gesicki here and there. Like Eric All Jr. is still there. And they drafted Jack Endries. And Tanner Hudson is like, they have a lot of tight ends on their roster.
Yeah.
It feels like Rams East almost.
Yeah.
I
without the Super Bowl championships.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say, speaking of no Super Bowl championships, the Cleveland Browns.
I was gonna say, speaking of Rams East, the Cleveland Browns. They like Myles Garrett goes to LA and Jared Verse comes to Cleveland, along with a whole lot of draft capital. The Browns lose their best a generational talent on defense, and still might come away better for it. Maybe
they'll find a way to screw it up.
Cleveland Browns going to Cleveland Brown, right?
Exactly.
Oh, we look at the Browns from last season. They went 5-12 in 2025. They come back with the 16th strength of schedule on PFF. That's literally smack dab in the middle. Key losses. We talked about Myles Garrett headed to LA. David Njoku also to LA. He's with the Chargers now. They flipped a whole lot of stuff on their O-line. Pretty much the entire front five is different. And Kevin Stefanski flies the coop. I believe he was hired in Atlanta by the Falcons as their head coach. So we have key additions. Like I said, almost a complete flip on the offensive line. They add to their wide receiver core with Denzel Boston and Casey Concepcion in the draft. And Todd Monken, now their head coach, former OC for the Baltimore Ravens, takes over as head coach. Probably going to be the play caller for the Browns, is what we anticipate. Interesting moves this offseason from Cleveland. Does it change your outlook on them as an offense? Like last year for a lot of people, other than Quinshon Judkins, I think we were fading pretty much their entire offense. What are we thinking coming into 2026, Jay?
Yeah, there's, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't believe in Shedeur Sanders. I definitely don't believe in Deshaun Watson at this point. I mean, Watson's going to be 31 come September. I think the best thing for this offense from a fantasy perspective would be to see Shedeur under center. I love Quinshon Judkins, but I like his ADP. He's going is right now RB21. Like that's right around where I'm willing to take him. But I feel like with what we're going to see out of this offense, I think Dylan Sampson's going to be involved more than we like. Like I'm not targeting Judkins like I was last season. And then the wide receivers, like, I despise Cleveland for doing, which I don't, it was smart for them, but drafting both Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston to a wide receiver group that already had Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman. I mean, there it's, and, you know, technically, you know, not a wide receiver, but Harold Fannin Jr. Like, we're not, whether it's Watson, whether it's Sanders, this isn't going to be some high flying offense. I will probably take some shots on like Concepcion just because he'll be, wide receiver 52, he's outside the top 125 right now. You know, in full PPR, I'm willing to take a shot on him. Harold Fannin Jr. going as tight end 7 right now. I honestly don't mind that. Like before these moves, I felt like Fannin was kind of being a little overdrafted, a little too much hype. But adding the two wide receivers has kind of put a little bit of a kibosh. on the hype, and he still does have that upside. So I mean, tight ends, oh wait, 78, tight end 7, 78 overall. Like, I think that's a fair ADP for him with the upside he has, and he should have a decent floor, as much of a floor as you're going to see from tight ends, and taking him at close to pick 80 overall isn't going to destroy your team if he winds up being a bust.
I kind of want to go back to running back, Jay, and talk about Judkins. I'm looking at his game log from last season, and you know, his final 10 games of 2025, he only averaged 4 yards per carry once. That kind of inefficiency is a little bit scary, especially you know, with Dylan Sampson there in a pass catching role and Rocket Sanders in the backfield ready to take away goal line carries. I'm a little bit concerned that maybe Judkins might be an overpay just because Todd Monken has a tendency to go with his pass catching back when they're trailing in games.
Yep.
We saw it a lot with Derrick Henry and Justice Hill last year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to take Derrick Henry off the field, you're certainly going to take Quinshon Judkins off the field. And, you know, the problem with Judkins' efficiency last season was the passing game was so bad. The defense was just continuing to load the box. That's not going to change this year. So not going to have much running room. Like, from a talent standpoint, I'm not ready to give up on Judkins, but he might be a guy that if the passing game takes a bit of a step forward this year, might be somebody I'm targeting next year. But I'm with you. I think that it's not a lot of upside. And like RB21, I don't mind that price tag.
Guys going around Judkins at running back, his going as RB21 ADP somewhere in the 49 to 55 range. You're looking at running backs like Bucky Irving, DeAndre Swift, Travion Harrison, and David Montgomery all going in that area. I think.
Say those names again, real quick. Go one by one.
Bucky Irving, DeAndre Swift, Travion Henderson, David Montgomery.
I'm taking all of those guys ahead of him besides that first one that you said, but I'm drawing a blank because I'm old.
Bucky Irving.
Yeah, as much as I love Bucky, I'm really concerned for his competition and what we saw at the end of last year. But yeah the other guys. David Montgomery, man, I can't wait till we get to...
AFC South coming soon.
Right. This is AFC North we're talking about. And Quinshon Judkins. Oh, yeah.
Just give me like one or two more weeks of taking David Montgomery everywhere at ADP before he gets helium. Please.
I'm worried about that myself.
Oh my goodness. All right. Before we shift back to we gotta get back to the AFC North.
Speaking of substances that can alter your mind, Aaron Rodgers is back in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. Like that segue.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. Yeah, Pittsburgh Steelers finished 2025 with a 10-7 record. They won their division and then got rid of their head coach. 2026, they come in with the 11th easiest strength of schedule according to PFF. Talk about key losses. Mike Tomlin, gone. Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator, gone.
Hold on. That is not a loss. Arthur Smith out the door is the best thing that could happen to their franchise. I cannot stand awful Arthur to what he did to my baby Bijan, but just had to throw that out there.
So Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith are gone. Kenneth Gainwell out the door. Jonnu Smith out the door. Some key additions for the offense, though. Michael Pittman comes in from Indianapolis, and then Rico Dowdle is signed over from the Panthers. How is Mike McCarthy going to divide up this backfield? Because you have Jaylen Warren. You have his buddy Rico Dowdle from their time in Dallas. I keep flip-flopping between who I like more in this backfield. Both of them, their ADPs are, you know, 6th, 7th round. Warren going as RB28 right around 75, and then Dowdle RB32 right around 85. I keep flip-flopping between these guys.
Sorry, I'm looking up. He was with Dallas?
Dowdle was in Dallas with McCarthy, no. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jaylen Warren. I was like, what?
No. Dowdle was in Dallas with McCarthy. Sorry about that.
It's not your fault. It's while I was going down the rabbit hole from that brain fart, I just found out that Jaylen Warren is from North Carolina and Clinton, North Carolina, which is like an hour and a half from where I live. So he's from the Tar Heel State, Sampson County. Yep. All right, back to it. So this is honestly an offense I really want no part of, just because we're at this point in Aaron Rodgers' career, you're going to have those games like we saw where he'll blow up for 4 touchdowns, but I think you're going to see a whole lot more of that ugly, maybe 1-2 touchdown, 150-yard passing yards, try to control the game on the ground. And I, for once, before free agency, was kind of excited for Jaylen Warren, But, you know, you bring in Rico Dowdle. If I'm drafting one of these two guys, it's Rico Dowdle. Like, even you flip-flop their ADPs right now, Warren is running back 28 off the board, Rico Dowdle's 32. You flip-flop that, I'm still taking Rico Dowdle. I think it just feels like a McCarthy move to come in and just give Rico Dowdle, I don't know, 65% of the carries. I don't know. That's just, I don't have anything to base that on. That's just a gut feeling. I think with the touches, I mean, we saw it in Carolina last season, Rico Dowdle can put up pretty significant numbers, and the pass game is just not going to be enough to go around with Metcalf, Michael Pittman. This is an offense. There is one guy that we haven't talked about yet, but I'll let you say a few things that I do kind of like on this team.
Are you ready to get gross? Are you ready to get a little bit gross?
Let's get weird.
I kind of like Caleb Johnson. No, right. I said it out loud. I'm sorry. Right.
Producer, go ahead and wrap that up. We don't have a producer. Okay.
I kind of like Caleb Johnson.
No, I think I've tried. I've tried to like Caleb Johnson this offseason. I've tried.
Like, what if, you know, like, what if the Steelers have a new coaching regime and they forget about the weird kickoff, like, non-retrieval that ended up as a kicking team touchdown? Like, what if they just forget and give him a fresh slate and he starts to actually, you know, assimilate to the offense and read the playbook and understand it? And
what if LaVisca Chenault? Never mind. No, I get what you're saying.
Butts were candy and nuts, right? Like,
no, I've looked into him, and I just, if this were a different offense, maybe. And I'm just not excited about the Steelers offense with those two guys ahead of them already. It would have to take injuries to both of them, both Warren and Dowdle, for me to really get excited. I mean, it's a dart throw that's worth taking at, I mean, 282 he's going. So it's a guy that's probably going to be on the guy that is going to be undrafted in the majority of leagues. He's still, I mean, a sophomore.
I will say I would rather take a shot on this team's running game than I would take a lottery ticket on this team's passing game. Because, like you said, Aaron Rodgers, he ain't it. So give me a guy in their backfield maybe instead if I'm going to take a lottery ticket on this Pittsburgh offense.
There is one piece of this passing offense that I would take a lottery ticket shot on.
The Mountain?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Darnell Washington.
Mount Washington.
That man is a beast. And apparently, which I think this is funny, McCarthy came in and set weight restrictions for the team, which, I mean, McCarthy, I mean, I'm not one to talk, but yeah. So apparently all the players had to be under 300 pounds or something along those lines. And last I checked, Darnell Washington was close to his playing weight at Georgia around, I pulled this up, let's see, 270 pounds, ran 4.640.
Like, a svelte 270.
Yeah, so I think he's going to, he's the only one that I would take a shot, because we've seen once Aaron Rodgers falls in love with a guy, we've seen it happen before with tight ends. Like, it's just a dart throw that probably not going to work out, but I mean, with a nickname like Mount Washington, how could you not take the shot? And they just, I mean, they re-signed him. Freiermuth is fine, but he doesn't have the upside to be this, you know, matchup nightmare that you could see Mount Washington becoming in this offense.
Do you remember Robert Tonyan?
Doesn't ring a bell. Yeah, I remember Robert Tonyan.
Robert Tonyan was a Green Bay Packers tight end way back in the day.
Big Bob Tonyan.
And I am trying to figure out if he overlapped with Aaron Rodgers at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
2020, right?
Yeah.
Let me see. 2020, who is the quarterback in Green Bay? That was Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's when they drafted Jordan Love.
So Aaron Rodgers and Robert Tonyan, right? They hooked up for 52 catches, 586 yards, and 11 touchdowns in 2020. Aaron Rodgers can take pretty much any tight end and make them relevant. That was my point of that diatribe. I apologize for getting us way off course. Funny story, though. I'm pretty sure that Tonyan is currently on the Steelers roster.
Oh, you see it? No way. Let me pull up their depth chart.
So there's that. I mean,
Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Big Bob Tonyan. You are correct. Everybody, you heard it here first. Sleeper, Robert Tonyan.
Can you imagine? Could you imagine?
Tonyan, I'm only going to clip that like, and take it completely out of context. We clip that and put it out there. You know, make it look like we called it all along. No, I'm not going to do
that. Yeah, yeah. Look, real smart. Real smart. but yeah, like, but my point of that whole thing was that Aaron Rodgers can make tight ends relevant.
And at this point in his career, it's a lot more likely than making both DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman, or either one of them really anything more than, I can't put either as a wide receiver two. I mean, a wide receiver three at best.
Yeah, it's tough for me to get behind either of them just because like DK Metcalf's value comes from pretty much the deep ball. Like I'm not saying that he's, you know, exclusively a go ball guy, but his fantasy value, his big plays come from those big chunk plays. And I just don't see this offense generating very many of them.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. This is not an offense that I'm looking to buy into. Maybe a couple of shots late in drafts, but that's pretty much it. Is there anybody else in this division before we head out of here that you want to mention?
Elijah Surratt is interesting to me. I think that, you know, I put out a short basically saying that I think he has more value than Jacoby Lane coming into the season, even though he was drafted around later. I think he will eventually win the Ravens wide receiver three position. And who knows? I mean, in a Declan Doyle offense, we don't know what that looks like yet necessarily in Baltimore, but he could be a relevant draft piece. He's one that I'm not going to, you know, set aside draft capital for, but he's certainly one that I'm going to be marking on my watch list across all platforms. So a name to keep an eye on. I really like what he's bringing. They're talking about potentially putting him in like a big slot, like implementing him as a big slot receiver. Could be fun.
Yeah. No, I like that. I definitely think there's some, you know, I'll have some shares of all three of the secondary wide receivers on the Ravens just because it's basically free. And, you know, if this offense does become a little more spread out, and they do become explosive, as you and I both believe they can, somebody else is going to have some fantasy value.
For sure. Jay, we did this at the end of last episode for the AFC West. Let's ask the question for AFC North as well. Who's one player from this division that you're targeting and one player that you're fading everywhere?
Yeah, I'm going to go Lamar Jackson.
I don't think that's a cop-out. I think that's a fine answer.
Right. I'm willing to pay the elite price tag for him. And I think, you know, there's some people that don't believe he still is. I would consider, there's probably some places where, you know, if I wound up taking the first quarterback in a super flex league, I will take Lamar Jackson. I just still believe he has the talent. Everything we've said, this offense could become more explosive. I'm just ready to... I'm ready to see another Lamar Jackson MVP type season. And I think with the new offense.
All right. One person I'm targeting everywhere is going to be Baltimore Ravens tight end Mark Andrews. Tight end 15 is just too low for him. I think that he could finish as high as like a top six kind of tight end. Now, granted, he's a catch and fall down guy, so I'm not going to rank him ahead of the yak monsters like Tucker Kraft and Colston Loveland. You know, that's not where I'm looking, but I do think that he could potentially run up like 10, 12 touchdowns. I know that, you know, Jackson and Andrews have a red zone connection over the past several seasons. The question is, you know, can Lamar Jackson ascend to those meteoric heights that we've seen him be previously, like 2024? Can he get back to 2024 Lamar Jackson? If he does, he's going to carry Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews and Derrick Henry and the rest of the receiving core with him.
And a lot of my teams as well.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm with you there. As for the player that I'm fading from this division, it's really between two guys, and they're on the same team, and the Steelers. But if I have to choose one of them, it's going to be DK Metcalf. Like, we already saw him take such a big step back from fantasy production point of view last season, and now he's got more competition with Michael Pittman, Aaron Rodgers, another year older, Mount Washington. Like, I don't see the only reason I went Metcalf over Rodgers in Superflex. I hope I don't have to, but I could see a spot where Rodgers becomes like a QB3 for bye weeks or something like that. But I just don't see any scenario where I'm going to be drafting DK Metcalf.
Yeah, for me, I know we got into it a little bit during the podcast, but for me, I think it's Quinshon Judkins. I just can't get behind drafting him as an RB2, RB3 in the first four or five rounds. There are guys going behind him and around him that I much prefer at a lot of different positions, including running back. So for me, I just don't feel like Browns running back is a position that I want to invest in. We've seen what Todd Monken does with his running backs. We've seen what Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson do under center, and it's not that impressive. I don't think he can be an elite rusher on this team. I like the talent. I don't like the context.
No, I think that's a great way to put it. Like, in the talent, not the context, and the team around him, that plays a huge part of it all. I'm trying to pull up the ADP because I want to give you a little bit of a name game. I'm interested to see where that line is for you, where you will take.
I'm looking at names, and
all right. Right now he's off the board at RB23. So the one guy in front of him is Travion Henderson. How about this? I will say names, and then you tell me when to stop, when you would take Quinshon Judkins ahead of the
okay.
player name.
Okay. Big bucks, no whammies.
Travion Henderson, Bashaul Tutten, Bucky Irving, Jadarian Price.
Stop. I'll take Quinshon Judkins ahead of Jadarian Price.
Okay. See, as much as I love Judkins, I might take Price.
I just don't trust the Seahawks to make him the RB1. Like, it's really what it comes down to. But I really hope that I'm not in a situation to draft either of them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
like, there's guys going well after them that I think that, like, Kyle Monongai and Blake Corum are way down below them, and those are guys that I might even consider ahead of
Kenneth Gainwell for me.
Yeah, like, those are guys that I might consider ahead of Price and Judkins. I know it sounds crazy, but it's not. we'll get into who I like in that range when we get to the divisions here in the future. But it ain't Judkins.
Yeah, unfortunately, he is he's a victim of the surroundings on his team. But before we get out of here, it is time for our random question, and I believe you asked me last time.
I asked you. I don't know if it counts as a random question because I asked you your divisional finish. So I feel like that was kind of a cop out. Let's do our divisional finish here real quick.
Okay,
and then I'll ask you an actual.
Okay, question. That works. Yeah, that works. I completely forgot that that's what we did, so I'm glad you said it.
Perfect.
All right, so Ravens fan, who's winning the division?
I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to win this division. I think their defensive improvements are going to make them much more dangerous as a team, much more competitive as a team. I think Joe Burrow can stay healthy this season, and I think they could get like 11 or 12 wins. I think the Ravens will be right there with them, falling just short at whatever, if the Bengals get 12, the Ravens get 11 and make the playoffs. I think the Steelers struggle to go 500. I think they're right around 8-9. And then the Browns are the Browns.
I agree with pretty much everything you said, but I think the Steelers struggle to get 5 wins. Like, I think it's going to be a disaster of a season.
Do the Browns finish ahead of the Steelers in the standings?
I could see it happening, honestly. I think that it's going to completely fall apart. It's especially, as long as I think the only reason Aaron Rodgers returned to the Steelers is nobody else wanted him at this point in his career. I mean, he came back so late. There's going to be some sort of drama with Aaron Rodgers because he's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what gets you excited about the team? Like, nothing. Like, they should have kept Mike Tomlin, but Yeah, I'm with you on everything. Like I said, it's just I think the Steelers are going to be in for a very tough season.
All right, time for my random question, Jay. And I've been thinking about this one for a little while myself, actually. So we are both into trading cards.
Correct.
Into maybe some more than others, into not just sports cards, but also like trading card games, like Pokemon cards. If you were a Pokemon trainer, a monotype Pokemon trainer, what type trainer would you be?
That's a good one. That's a really good one. So we're talking about like the, you know, water, fire, electric,
yes,
whatever.
Sir. Oh, yes.
I would probably have to go. I think I have to go water. I think
says a lot about you.
Yeah, I think people sleep on water. I think
be water. Know,
think, yeah, be water, baby. Exactly. It's my draft strategy. There you go. I like the way you think. Yeah, people want to stay away from water because you think, oh, well, the electric, but I'm with you. Yeah, be water, baby. Be water.
Love that.
How about
love
you?
That answer.
Even though it was my question, but what's yours?
Mine is probably maybe steel or ice type. Like those are the two that I lean towards.
Okay.
I don't really have a good justification for it, but just like ice types growing up were always my favorite. So
I'd like to Squirtle Squad. I mean, Squirtle with glasses. Like so that's why I had to go white. Go with the water. But
Squirtle Squad, baby.
There you go.
Right
there. All right.
How's I don't know these? If you can see that. There it is.
I can. There you go.
That's
all
nice.
Right. I like it. That is. I like the full. I don't like any of their modern stuff, but I love the full card.
Oh, yeah.
Illustrations. Those are nice. But well, speaking of geeking out, that is going to be it for us here on the AFC North edition of the Division Previews for QB List Podcast. This will come out sometime the week of July 12th when we are recording. Make sure you check out the other division previews. We are handling the AFC divisions. Our guys, Brian and Mario, are handling the NFC divisions, and we're going to handle all of them right at the training camp. And we're not that far away, my friend. We are in full-on fantasy football season. And Brett, you and I are going to get to meet in person in two and a half weeks. Yeah, about 2.5 weeks. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, man.
And so, yeah, we will continue to push these out throughout the offseason. We got plenty more. I am actually getting ready to ramp up my content, my offseason content. This week, I'm going to have divisional. I'm going to have positional rankings come out, each position individually, and then my top 300 likely on Friday. Then next week, I'm going to be starting off the series that one of the series I did last year with post-type sleepers for each division, which was probably my, I don't know, successful. I had the most hits on that one. I had Daniel Jones, and that's the only one I can remember, but there was a couple other. I think that was the one that maybe was more not as many busts. Maybe that's what it was. But I do know I liked Daniel Jones. But with that being said, Brett, anything you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, find me on Twitter, Fade That Man. Hopefully I'll find some preseason content to put out as well. I'm sure I'll be on the airwaves on the QB List Podcast Network, talking with Jay, with Brian, with Mario, with whomever wants to jump on. Hopefully we'll get some mock drafts here fired up again as the season draws nearer. Really looking forward to the Scott Fish Bowl and everything else that I'm competing in this year.
There you go, man. Absolutely. That's going to be a good time. You're doing the live draft in New York City. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Yes, sir.
Well, with that being said, I'm Jay Felicio for Brett Ford for QB List. We out.